It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 19th day of December. What is it, 2 days before the winter solstice? 2 days before the rebirth of the sun? Yeah, funny how that stuff sort of clings to our collective cultural consciousness down through the ages. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go, for instance, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you get there now, you will be immediately greeted by early arrivers, Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a third stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space today because it's another cold, wet day there where he is. And capably assisted by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Hi, I'm Bob, and it is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Impeachment is over. It's not exactly impeachment's Boxing Day, but all the fireworks, for the most part, ended last night with the adoption and the passage of the two articles of impeachment against Donald J. Trump. The J stands for Jesus. And today was sort of the hangover or the afterglow, depending on which side of the political spectrum you're on. The day began with Moscow Mitch McConnell deciding to have a hissy, followed by Nancy Pelosi, who thus far is far better at playing 11D-dimensional chess than Mitch is, who said, well, I really don't care what Republicans think. And what a bumper sticker that would be. I really don't care what Republicans think. Kind of beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, it is. And thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa letting me know that we are running hot and true on both streams, both at HeadOn.live and at White Rose Society. So hopefully everything will be that degree of smooth sailing for the entirety of the program. We can at least cross our fingers. Now, this program, like every program at the Horn, begins with gratitude. Today is, like I said, no different. So thanks go out today to our subscribers for the 19th day of the month. And that means that thanks go out to Sharon and Mike in Cascadia. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Mike, for being partial sponsors of the program. And thank you very kindly to our buddy Anatole, who got things started this evening by taking down our fundraising goal before I could even announce it. the fundraising goal for this this particular day. Yesterday was a goose egg because, well, frankly, it was. I ran a whole lot. I ran as much of the impeachment debate or the end of the impeachment debate as I could, and there wasn't a whole lot of fundraising that went on. So we are, thanks to Anatole, we are down to only $290 to go, and that means $490 to finish the week. But $290 this evening, 10 at 29, 29 at 10, all the various permutations of the ciphering that go with it. It's kind of a red-letter day at the Horn. Roger, whom you've heard on Friday on the front porch and other days, Roger just popped into the chat room to say, hi from down south. As in Peru, so this will be the first time we've had a listener. We can put a pushpin in the map on Peru. That leaves us what? Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Brazil, the Guay countries, Ura and Para, Argentina. Did I say Brazil? And the Guianas and whatnots up the top there. Right. I'm going to get shit for that. Yeah. Bob, you got to know your South American. Yeah. But anyway, hey, Roger. Another one of those little miracles of the internet. Somewhere in the Andes or the foothills of the Andes or perhaps down by the coast, Roger's listening in Peru. So, let's see. Where should we begin? Now, I've got various and sundry stories to go into this evening, some of which are more Trump-related than others. And the fact of the matter is, no matter how hard you try, sooner or later, everything comes rolling back to him because he touches on all things, I guess. Yeah, well, Jim is jumping in there. I don't care what Republicans think. Have a banner with that on it. Wow. Maybe we could get a designer to put it on the back of a jacket or something. I don't care what Republicans think. Do you? Randy in PA says, I've got a better bumper sticker. Republicans don't think. Well, that's entirely true, too. And on our way to knocking that $290 down, Steve in New York would like to see somebody match $10. If somebody will come up with $10, Steve will match it. And Ralph's just said if somebody will kick in $10, she'll kick in another $15. So if we can scrounge up two $10 contributions, well, that'll take us down to $245, and that would be awesome. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Steve. And hopefully that will roll in fairly short order. Now, where to begin? Because there is so much. I mentioned the fact that Nancy Pelosi doesn't care what Republicans think. And frankly, who does? Except other Republicans. It's kind of like, snake sex. It only matters to other snakes. And the rest of us are better off for not even bothering to think about it. But the other thing that Nancy Pelosi did today, and this was a stroke of genius, is she followed through on the idea of not just sending the bill of impeachment over to the Senate for them for Moscow Mitch and Leningrad Lindsay to put together the Senate cover up. It's not a trial; it's a cover up. And this has enraged. I tell you, it has enraged Lindsay. Lindsay, according to a reporter over there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Lindsay is enraged that Nancy Pelosi is holding back the articles of impeachment. He said,
It is not her job to dictate the Senate trial. Raul, not now. Ow!
And because see, Nitwit Nero called Lindsay this morning to ask, as Lauren Fox over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, I don't know, maybe she's not there. That's her last name. Yeah, well, we'll figure that out. I could be wrong. But according to Precious Lindsay, down there at the ancient family estate of Smoldering Chode, Trump called and said, Lindsay, what in the world is going on up on the hill? At which point, Lindsay said, well, Mr. President, Raul, I am not kidding. Well, Mr. President, I don't know. Now, you and I both know that Chlamydia Claudius did not say, what in the world is going on? Because while I work with some of the finer bad words of the English language, we do know that Nitwit Nero is a short-fingered vulgarian. And so he did not say, what in the world is going on? He said, Lindsay, what the fuck is going on? What's Nancy doing to me now? God damn it. Yeah. Because and Nancy Pelosi put it together so that she said, well, you know, I really can't send over the articles until we know who our managers are going to be. And we just won't know who the managers are going to be until the Senate tells us what kind of format they're going to have for a trial. Ouch. Now, let's be clear. Moscow Mitch, as he stated in his in the title to his memoir, The Long Game, he prides himself on playing it all out in such a way as to be able to fuck the greatest number of Americans for the longest period of time. But in this matter, Nancy Pelosi has deprived him of the opportunity of just doing the cover up and having done with it. Now, Moscow Mitch did try to put a brave face on it and said, well, I ain't really exactly in a hurry to have this here trial. And then proving himself to be the vicious Southern racist that he is, he said, throw me in that briar patch. You know, nothing says not a Confederate like a reference to Uncle Remus. Let's check in with Mitch for just a moment, if you don't care.
House Democrats rushed and rigged inquiry, yielded two articles, two of impeachment.
They rigged the inquiry? And he held his fingers up, you know, two articles. I guess because the maggots have a hard time counting without visual aids. Well, we're not entirely sure. Brother Deacon Asa said, I'm confused. Is Raul Lindsay's pool boy? I don't think he's the pool boy. I think he's more like the... let's just leave it to people's imagination. Stop telling us who Raul is, Bob. Yeah. So, Raul, we've got a new character, Raul. No, but the Republicans can't count to two without a visual aid, courtesy of Moscow Mitch.
They're fundamentally unlike any articles that any prior House of Representatives has ever passed. The first article concerns the core events which House Democrats claim are impeachable. The timing of aid to Ukraine.
No, that's actually not the...
But it does not even purport to allege any actual crime. Instead, they deploy the vague phrase abuse of power. Abuse of power.
To which, incidentally, is at the very heart of the concept of impeachment, at least according to Alexander Hamilton back when they were coming up with the notion.
Impugn the president's action in a general, indeterminate way. Speaker Pelosi's House just gave in to a temptation that every other House in history has managed to resist.
Did really?
Let me say that again. Speaker Pelosi's House just gave in to a temptation that every other House in our history has managed to resist.
Now, you might be interested to know what he did there by saying that twice is he's employing a rhetorical tactic that is frequently deployed by Baptist ministers. Say it twice so the rubes can get it. Skip a bit, brother.
That low. That low. James Madison himself explained that allowing impeachment on that basis would mean the president serves at the pleasure of the Congress instead of the pleasure of the American people.
Not really.
It would make the president a creature.
A creature, sure. Andy, she called me a creature.
Creature of Congress, not the...
Well, I mean, Chlamydia Claudius is a creature.
The head of a separate and equal branch. So there were powerful...
You know, like, sanctuary. Kind of creature. Oh, God, what a day. Steve in New York says, I love this. Her delaying the articles is driving them abso-fucking-lutely nuts. And I think that's a fair statement. Because they're being outwitted. Not that they've got a lot of wits to be outed. Steve noting further, it is her decision whether to send the indictment to the Senate, just like a prosecutor can decide to hold an indictment in abeyance. And they do it all the time to try and get a plea. That won't happen here, but what will happen is that it'll drive Nitwit Nero to a new level of crazy. This might actually turn it from 11 up to 12. One can only hope. And she hasn't said the quiet part out loud yet, and she may not. But the fact remains that you can always argue, hey, you know, we don't want to put the Senate to make them work too hard. We know the Senate doesn't like to work. There's 400 and some odd bills sitting on Moscow Mitch's desk right now, and he can't quite seem to find the energy to deal with them. The only thing he really knows how to do is put unqualified maggot cretins on the bench. So we wouldn't want to overwork him. And there's always the possibility that sometime between now and somewhere next year, we may have to impeach him again. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be bothered by serial impeachment. No, I don't mean like Lucky Charms or Kix or Count Chocula or anything like that. Just impeach him every now and then. Make him the first multiply impeached president. He likes to, you know, Nitwit Nero likes to make records and be remembered in history for things. Make him the first president who was so godforsaken awful that he had to be impeached time after time after time. Because, see, there's another thing that's out there in the offing. And it goes back to something that I've been talking about for a while. And that is those outstanding subpoena cases. There's three of them. There's one from the Southern District of, or from the Manhattan District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr., who wants a look at Trump's taxes to find out if he broke the law of the state of New York in regard to the payoffs to the, what's her name? Karen McDougal? I never can remember her name. All I can remember is Stormy Daniels. You know, the two women who gave detailed graphic accounts of what it was like to have sex with, oh God, there went dinner in the Eastern time zone with Donald Trump, right down to descriptions of like mushrooms and Mario Kart and ill. Yeah. And spankings with rolled up copies of Forbes and in both cases it, you were great. You remind me of Ivanka. Ill. The ling ding 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 ding. Sure do got a pretty mouth. So there's that lawsuit. That subpoena. And then there are the two subpoenas from the House of Representatives trying to get his taxes through loan information from Mazars and Deutsche Bank and Capital One, I think. That's still. And the thing is, they've all been agreed to be heard by the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, don't think for a minute that I don't understand what a potentially toxic process this is. But the fact of the matter is, the cases will be heard in April-ish, and they will be decided probably on the last day of the court's term before they turn loose for their summer break, which would put us at the end of June. Well, there's assuming that the Supreme Court decides not to fuck up and follows decades, if not centuries, of legal precedent and compel Venerial Vespasian to, the thing is, the suit doesn't even ask for him to do anything. He's just interfering in a legal process in which he probably has no standing. Because the subpoenas were to Mazars and the financial institutions, and Nitwit Nero intervened. So if precedent is followed, if there is some degree to which old Balls and Strikes John Roberts wants to maintain the fiction of a Supreme Court that's above it all, then Trump has to lose. And then once the documents are delivered, well, you get more articles of impeachment based upon the finality of the ruling. So, you know, we really wouldn't want to put Mitch out with the two impeachment trials. Now, would we? Uh-oh. Kyle in Kentucky Stand says, Bob, don't be talking about snake sex. I just got back from Jungle Jim's, which is one of those made from heaven mega international grocery stores. I mean, they have everything. And I saw hot sauces whose brands were Wet Beaver and Angry Cock right next to each other. So my mind's already in the gutter. I don't need any help. Meanwhile, as to Moscow Mitch, Kyle notes, God damn it, go back into your fucking shell, you traitorous turtle fucker. Wait a minute. Yeah, definite cowbell for that. There would be no temptation to impeach the asshole if he didn't keep breaking fucking laws. Why is this so hard for Republicans? Well, because there's a big difference between intellectual process, otherwise known as thinking, and worshiping. And at this point in time, they're engaged in worship. I mean, if the Brother Loudermilk comment about Trump being more unfairly treated than Jesus didn't just put paid to any notion that they were anything other than worshipers, I don't know if anything will. Well, Jim, I can't very well call him St. Petersburg Lindsay. There's no alliteration in that. We've got Moscow Mitch and Leningrad Lindsay. That's why. As Raups points out, yes, we would want to impeach Trump over and over and over. Because every one of them is going to make him a little bit less okay. And eventually, you got to think, and or maybe not, that there's a threshold where even the Republicans look up. Because there's been reporting about this, I've seen it all day long, about members of Congress and reporters who say, oh, yeah, the Republicans will tell you off the record that they know he's horrible and that they know that what he did was sleazy and filthy and wrong. But they won't say it in public because they're cowards, because they're afraid, because there's nothing worse in their world than being tweet attacked by the president. Billable Rick out there, subject line, snake sex. Bob, stop telling us how to watch snake sex. I'm not telling you how. I'm suggesting that you ought not. But then again, that's Bob. Don't quit telling us not to watch snake sex. Hell, for all I know, there's a cable channel for it. And Billable Rick continuing, Pelosi's delay in transmission of articles of impeachment to the Senate. I recall you previously discussing the above possibility on the program. In fact, you and or another listener posited that Pelosi could indefinitely withhold transmitting the articles of impeachment to the Senate until after the 2020 election so as to deprive Trump of being able to argue that he was fully vindicated by the lickspittle GOP Senate. This is yet another example of the horn being so far ahead of the curve that we're racing on a straight road. Well, thank you, Billable Rick. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Sometimes it's almost like we're broadcasting from the future, isn't it? Meanwhile, Lee in New York points out, Tulsi Gabbard votes present on articles of impeachment. I know you don't want to pick a Democratic nominee for president, Lee says, but as far as I'm concerned, her present makes me want her absent on the ballot. Yeah, thanks, Lee. Thanks for that. Because I've been comfortably cruising along here saying, look, no matter who the nominee is, I will vote for that nominee. Yesterday's two present votes by Tulsi made that difficult. God, she displayed all the courage of a fainting goat. And the quote that she gave, I couldn't vote yes and I couldn't vote no. I'm squarely in the center. Which reminded me about what Jim Hightower used to say about the middle of the road. There's nothing in the middle of the road except a yellow stripe and run over armadillos. I was about to say avocados, and I don't know why. They might be there too. But then I got to thinking, no, yellow stripe and run over skunks. And then it dawned on me that white streak through her hair. I'm not commenting on her appearance, just the fact that there's a white streak through her hair and run over skunks in the middle of the road. And well, now there we go. But she couldn't. Lee says, as far as I'm concerned, her present vote makes me want her absent on the ballot. I understand that. And let's remember, she's so awful that she gave up on the notion of trying to be reelected to her own district from Hawaii. And so as soon as this charade of her presidential campaign is over, I think we can fully expect that she will start cashing the wingnut welfare check over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Now, it's just a guess. It's just a guess. Note coming in from Lady B. A Christmas Carol and a Plea for Sovereignty. I just read this story about a Ukrainian choir that used to travel the world in the early 1900s. In addition to singing songs about their plight, they would also perform an incredibly gorgeous and popular Christmas song called Shidrik. As it turns out, the song isn't about Christmas at all, but rather about the coming of spring and a new birth. A Russian composer later anglicized it for his American audiences, and it's now called, wait for it, Carol of the Bells. Oh, that's gorgeous. I have to be honest, says Lady B, I know nothing about Ukraine. I never thought much about them. I'd grown up hearing about them being referred to as the Ukraine and that they were related to Russia somehow, and that was it, our American school system, right? But apparently, before they were in the Soviet Union, they were their own country and their own nationality and rules and language, and they fought an ugly and hard war to separate themselves from being a part of the Soviet Union, and they succeeded. And now Russia wants them back. Well, one of the other things that you find out along the way, Lady B, is that they were also known as the Russian breadbasket, because Ukraine has or had vast and fertile fields where a great deal of Russian wheat was grown. And in fact, the idea, the larger meta idea of Russia begins in Ukraine. We all know my fascination with the Middle Ages and the Byzantine Empire. Well, the first contact that the civilized Byzantium had with that neck of the woods was a place called Kievan Rus, R-U-S, as in R-U-S-S-I-A. And contrary to what most folks think or know, Kievan Rus was a Viking civilization, if I understand correctly. And so it was Kievan Rus that went further inland and first taught the people who are now in Moscow to walk upright without the help of wheelbarrows. They were the civilizing influence that led to what passed for civilization among the later Russian Tsars. Tsar being a Russianization, a Muscovite rendering of Kaiser, Caesar, Caesar, which the leader at Constantinople continued to refer to himself as, Augustus and Caesar. See how it's a long, long thread that traces its way from the ancient world down to the present. But anyway, I digress, because Lady B has more note. I try to make comparisons in my mind as to what two countries in North America could be used to describe what it's like to be considered part of something that you're not. I think of El Paso, Texas. It straddles the border between the U.S. and Mexico. They seem to peacefully coexist, and the Mexican side is still part of Mexico. But they have our footprints all over their backs. We continue to exploit their products and labor, saying we're rescuing them from poverty and oppression. We do have a busy but secure border crossing station. But we're steadily creeping further and further into their country, both physically and culturally. As an aside, I'll note that we snuck a bit of nasty into the negotiations over the USMCA, which is just NAFTA with a different wig. Surprising the Mexicans with the demand that American labor inspectors be able to verify labor conditions in Mexico. The Mexican government didn't much care for that. And then there's Porfirio Diaz, who said back, I think, at the end of the 19th and early 20th century, perhaps, poor Mexico. So far from God, so near to to the United States. Lady B says, we pretend to both simultaneously recognize Mexican sovereignty while holding them hostage to our large looming presence. And yes, they do have a somewhat corrupt government, but we have had a hand in that too. Kind of like what Russia did to Ukraine. We're not naive and innocent, and we're damn sure not giving Texas back to Mexico because we say so. That's old and settled. But what if we up and pushed our way further into Mexico? How horrible would that be for all of us? They fought for what they have. Let them keep it and leave them alone. And just as another one of those historical asides, it's worth noting that that's the thing that Aaron Burr was accused of, wanting to go down and set himself up as king of Mexico and be a separate country. And then there's the Mexican War. You know, that whole bullshit line about from the halls of Montezuma, blah, 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 that the Marines are forever singing about. Well, there were no halls of Montezuma. Hernando Cortez had taken care of that a good four centuries earlier. But we did manage to assault Chapultepec. I guess that was the ultimate battle of the war outside Mexico City. It's a magnificent place. It was the burial ground of the ancient Mexica revered speakers. And we did not acquit ourselves well in Mexico. And probably, if you're looking for a historical parallel, the nearest thing to the obscenity of the Iraq War was in the 19th century. The Mexican War. The only difference being that after the Mexican War, we didn't try with quite so much vim and vigor to occupy Mexico. Yeah, we just took New Mexico, Arizona, and California. The Gadsden Purchase. If, of course, you consider a purchase made with a gun to your head to be a purchase and not a robbery. But I'm digressing all over Lady B's note. She says, the problem is Russia wants to take back some valuable land and Ukraine isn't having it. It's like breaking up with your boyfriend, marrying someone else, and moving across town thinking this brother will finally leave you alone, yet here he is at your front door like Ike Turner with roses and a gun. You can't leave me, anime Ukraine. I'm your head. Anime Ukraine. Wait a minute. Yeah. The thing is, Ike Putin, they're not going back. And if that means you got to shoot, go ahead. They've moved on and reclaimed their autonomy. They don't want to and shouldn't be forced to be part of the Soviet Union again or some fascist variation thereof. I still don't know everything about their country, Lady B says. Dude, I'll probably never travel there, and what happens to them really isn't up to me, but I can vote for people who will at least try to make sure they get the support they need. That article, knowing they created that song, humanized them for me. And reading a story like that makes their plight more relatable. They aren't just some Russians who want to be Ukrainian, any more than the folks that cross the border to work in El Paso are just wannabe Americans who happen to speak Spanish. I wish them luck. Carol of the Bells is a gorgeous song. Even the way they sing it actually has cultural and mystical roots. Read the article when you can and listen to the choir sing it in Ukrainian. It's worth the mental trip. It's a Slate article. The title is The Forgotten History of Nationalism, Oppression, and Murder Behind a Christmas Classic. Oh, we got to hear a little bit of this, don't we? I mean, I'd say we do. If it's actually about the coming of spring, I can believe it. Distant rain clouds moving across a vast plain. The coming of winds and rains and spring and the tender shoots putting their heads up through the ground. And it, yep, all of that. That's beautiful. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you. I've learned something new today, which means today was made even more worthwhile than it previously had been. Now, I'm going to have to listen. I'm going to listen to that again with the sound cranked up later. Note coming from Darlene in Connecticut, and remember. $20 worth of challenges on the table by Steve and by Ralphs. Two folks with $10 apiece gets turned into $45. And it would be great if we could knock that out and get started on not having a great big hole to try to climb out of for Friday on the front porch. Darlene in Connecticut says, so CNN reports that Lindsey Graham cracker stated, not sending articles of impeachment to the Senate is constitutional extortion. I'll bet you Lindsey knows a little bit about extortion, don't you? Yes, Lindsey, we would like to show you some lovely, lovely photographs of your recent trip. Yes, and I wonder who... Ah, Raul, that's his name, is it? Raul? Yes, this is Raul. Yeah. Oh, well, now, Raul is quite a specimen. Would be a shame if pictures of you and Raul got out. Darlene says, constitutional extortion? Really? Really? In the words of Representative Hank Johnson, originally directed at Representative Matt Gaetz, well, now that's the pot calling the kettle black, and... CNN's now reporting the following. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, I saw this late last night. Lo and behold, the Senate and the House came up with a plan, a piece of legislation that was designed to punish people over in Mother Russia for interfering in the 2016 election. And you know what? It was partially Lindsey's doing. Yes, it was. But as of Tuesday, the letter was dated Tuesday, the nitwit Nero regime has sent a letter to the Congress and said that... the administration shares the goal of deterring and countering Russian subversion and aggression. That's Bureau of Legislative Affairs Assistant Secretary Mary Elizabeth Taylor, who apparently has decided that she has no future plans and no morals and no ethics and has decided to continue working for this madcap regime. But guess what? While they claim that they share the goal of deterring and countering Russian subversion and aggression, the Trump White House has decided that they oppose the bill that was hammered out as a function of compromise in the Congress. And timing is always everything with this bunch. They only sent the letter after a visit from Sergei Lavrov to deliver holiday greetings from Vladimir Putin to Donald Trump, his little Trumpkin. You will not be supporting this legislation, Donald.
I will not be supporting this legislation, Donald.
Right. Yeah. The bill is called DASKA, D-A-S-K-A, if you want to look it up. As of yesterday, Lindsay was saying, I'm incredibly pleased with the overwhelming bipartisan support for my legislation. This strong vote, indicates an overwhelming desire by the Senate as a whole to push back against Russian interference in our election and Putin's misadventures throughout the world. I'm committed to working with my colleagues to improve this legislation, but it must be strong to be meaningful. It must be strong, strong and muscular, perhaps a little bit sweaty, maybe oily. Mm-hmm. Nothing like a visit from good old Sergei Lavrov to make things, well, just a little clearer, don't you know? So let me see here. I had a message from my buddy Donnie earlier. I'd absolutely love to be on Pennsylvania Avenue watching the New York State Police handcuff the treasonous SOB, Trump. Yeah, I don't think it quite works that way, Donnie, but maybe. Look, here's my personal filthy little fantasy. January 20th, 2021, a new president is inaugurated who's not a Republican but is in fact a Democrat. And the minute that new president's hand comes off the Bible, there's a Secret Service agent, or perhaps an FBI agent.
They're all spies. They're all corrupt.
Who handcuffs Donald Trump and leads him away. Wouldn't that be lovely? Kim wants to know who performed that version of Carol of the Bells. I think it's called Oh God, I'm going to have to look it up now. It's called Schedrick, Schedryk. It's in Ukrainian, and it was a Ukrainian choir, and it came from YouTube. And I bet other people want to look it up, too. So if you go to YouTube and you simply look up Schedrick, Carol of the Bells by the Bel Canto Choir of Vilnius, B-E-L Canto Choir, Vilnius. Yeah, I bet that's going to be in folks' holiday rotation. But still, I love the idea that it's about the coming of spring. Because this is going to sound completely nuts. But now that we're a couple of days away from the winter solstice, I can start thinking about spring. No, really, it's only going to get colder, but the days are going to get longer. And it's been my theory that the single most important date for early humans to know, and probably plays in a big way into the formation of early faith systems, religions, what have you, whatever you want to call it, It's probably the winter solstice in either the northern or southern hemisphere. Because once you knew when the winter solstice was, and I think it probably even goes back further than sedentary agriculture. If you know when the winter solstice is, you know, June in the southern hemisphere, December in the northern hemisphere, then you know when the days are going to start getting longer. You know when in the animal world, the spring, the animals will be born in spring, lambs, goats, camels, what have you. And you are thereby better able to, hopefully, survive. You really can't say that about any other date. Certainly not a date as artificial as Christmas or Saturnalia. No. But the solstice can be the key to survival. And for me, at least emotionally, I think it is. Because those longer days mean all in the world to me. I mean, it's dark now. And these are some tough days to get through sometimes. So the best remedy I've had is to try to get out early and get in the sun and feel it and experience the light so that you don't just sit there in some sort of grim miasma day after day after day. Oh, and he went back to Twitter today, Julius Geezer did, complaining on the platform.
I got impeached last night with that one Republican vote being cast with the do-nothing Dems on their continuation of the greatest witch hunt in American history. Now the do-nothing party want to do nothing with the articles and not deliver them to the Senate, but it's Senate's call. The Senate shall set the time and place of the trial. If the do-nothing Democrats decide in their great wisdom not to show up, then they would lose by default. No, stupid. There's nothing about losing by default in the Constitution, and the Senate doesn't get to take up anything until the House transmits it to them. That's how it works. But that's what happens when you've got a guy in the Oval Office who knows absolutely nothing whatsoever about constitutional government and is entirely governed in his own right by his own ego and his own monstrous appetites. It's hilarious, though. To a certain extent, I guess the Republicans might be breathing a bit of a sigh of relief, because all along they've been quietly saying, when we have the trial, it'd be mighty nice if he would stay the fuck off Twitter for a minute. Speaking to Politico, Senator John Cornhole of Texas said, this is a solemn and serious undertaking, and I just think we don't need a bunch of distractions. The president will like the outcome, I believe, in the end, so making it easier, not harder, would be a good thing. And then noted centrist until she does exactly what Trump wants her to do, Susan Collins of Maine said,
the president would be best served by letting his lawyers speak for him and not doing any comment at all. I doubt, however, that he will heed my advice.
Then there was Precious Lindsay, who said, he needs to be respectful of the process.
You put that feather down, Raul. He can defend himself. He has a right to express his grievances. But if I were him, I would keep a low profile. Lower, Raul.
John Thune, trying not to earn his wrath, said, there are many cases in which I hope he doesn't tweet. Oh, God. If they weren't so horrible, if they weren't such a gang of misogynistic, sick, racist misanthropes, you'd feel sorry for them, wouldn't you? But they aren't, and so you don't. Lee. But like I said, and we're coming up on the close of the filibobster, kinda.
Oh, I'd forgotten. You know what's tonight? You know what we got tonight? Ooh, pick me. We've got a pageant tonight. Yes. The Democratic presidential candidates who met the sort of arbitrarily established thresholds for being on the stage, thresholds that say, for instance, keep Julian Castro off the stage. Well, they're gonna have a Democratic pageant at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. And for once, one of these pageants has had a positive effect, because there had been a labor dispute at Loyola Marymount between food service workers and the food service contractor there. And Tom Perez, who had been the labor secretary under Barack Obama, got involved and said, you know, we're not going to cross picket lines. So y'all might not get the, and that, of course, caused various and sundry deans and presidents and vice presidents to get the vapors. And lo and behold, the labor dispute got solved. And the working folks who were in the labor dispute miraculously didn't get completely fucked. There will be 7 candidates on the stage this evening for the pageant. It will be every bit as profit-driven as any other. 7 is the smallest number of candidates to appear on a pageant stage thus far. And, yeah, Julian Castro isn't going to be on the stage, but Andrew Yang will be. So there'll be Grandpa Joe and Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and Andrew Yang and, oh, God, you're kidding. Please tell me the other one's not going to be Tulsi. What do you want to bet it is? But it's coming up this evening. I don't think I'm going to fool with it. And by the way, this day, December the 19th, this is the anniversary of the Clinton impeachment. Well, I tell you what, you can sure tell a difference, can't you? Yeah, because it's a Republican getting impeached, and that means Republicans are hot, downright worked up. I thought we might check in for a moment with Nancy Pelosi from this morning, because it's one thing to report what she said. It's another entirely to
experience the glory of it. You know, assuming everything works. There we go.
Kwanzaa, New Year's, whatever else. But I hope you have it. Now I'll have time for a few questions. Nance?
Do you run the risk as the Republicans have said of looking like you're playing games with impeachment if you hold on to these articles for too long?
I said what I was going to say, Nancy. When we bring the bill, which is, just so you know, there's a bill made in order by the Rules Committee that we can call up at any time in order to send it over to the Senate and to have the provisions in there to pay for the impeachment. And then the next step, the trial. That is
the cover up. I think she almost said the cover up.
Managers. I was not prepared to put the managers and that bill yet because we don't know the arena that we are in. Frankly, I don't care what the Republicans say. Any other questions? Not on this subject. I've said this is it. I honored Nancy.
You last night.
I don't care what the Republicans say. Nor should any of us. Like I said at the beginning of the program, we would have some stories that were more directly Trumpian and others that were tangentially Trumpian. Well, this story actually comes out of the Senate. And it has to do with work that the House had already done, because one of the few things that the House and the Senate will work together on is the Defense Authorization Act, the National Defense Authorization Act. It's how we keep the military paid for year in and year out because, well, we might let some people go fucking hungry. We might let the infrastructure go to hell. But we, by God, will make sure we keep the military running. And so the Senate took up the Defense Authorization Act after the House had it. And over in the House version had an amendment in it that had been authored by Representative Pete Aguilar. He's a Democrat, California. And it directed the Department of Defense, and I think this is probably a pretty wise suggestion. It told the Department of Defense to figure out how to screen military recruits for involvement with extremist and gang-related activity. That's a quote, extremist and gang-related activity. And also mentioned screening for white nationalism. White nationalism. Well, the Senate then, after the House passed it, the Senate took it up. And lo and behold, somehow or another, once the Senate got hold of it, the Republican majority, Republican-controlled Senate, once the Senate got hold of it, that reference to white nationalism disappeared. Poof. Gone. Not there anymore. Nobody really knows who cut the language. James Snowball Inhofe, Republican from Oklahoma, when last we checked in with Jim Inhofe, he was declaring there was no such thing as climate change by bringing a snowball onto the floor of the Senate in January. Jim Inhofe chairs the Armed Services Committee. And when reporters tried to ask him, hey, what happened to the white nationalism language? He just didn't have any interest in, you know, commenting. Why? Because the Republican Party
is a white supremacist party.
Don't take my word for it. Go over to the Military Times. Back in 2017, the Military Times polled service members, and almost a full quarter, 25% of the respondents, members of the active duty military, fully a quarter of the respondents said that they had run into white nationalists, otherwise known as racists, otherwise known as white supremacists, otherwise known as Nazis and skinheads and Klansmen, Identity Evropa, and those various and sundry other vile, vicious, and deadly and dumber than dirt, goddamned white wingers. 25% said, yeah, I've run across them. What's more interesting is that while not a majority, a plurality of those polled in 2017 said that white nationalism in the ranks is more dangerous than the combat zones in either Iraq or Afghanistan. When Huffington Post reached out to Representative Aguilar and told him what had happened to his language over in the Senate, he said, "We cannot turn a blind eye to this growing problem, which puts our national security and the safety of the brave men and women serving our country in jeopardy. It's disappointing that Senate Republicans disagree." And I know Representative Aguilar has to speak like that. The real thing is, it's disappointing that the Senate is controlled by people who are at the very least sympathetic to white supremacist ideology. But then again, when you consider the way the Senate is constituted, two senators from every state, and when you look back in the history of the adoption of the Constitution, well, that whole thing was put together to satisfy, as so much of the Constitution was, slave-owning Southerner political elites. There's a whole bunch of white supremacy baked right into the Constitution of the United States. All you got to do is look around and it'll pop right out. What's that, Devin? is Lindsaygrad the capital of Smolder and Chode? Yeah, that gets a cowbell. Sure it does. Oh, Devin, that was quality. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa points out, Bob, where Lindsey Graham's concerned, that's the pot calling the kettle white. You guys, you always bring your A game. Okay, we've got other stuff to go into, but apparently Jim wants to get into the conversation. Hey, Jim.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine. What you doing?
Oh, just doing some radio.
Okay. I think Lindsey Graham's a lot better than the other.
You're going to have to turn your audio down in the background, buddy.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Can you read, please?
I think Lindsey Graham's a lot better than the other.
It's out of control. I'm sorry. Maybe I can call back when it works. But anyway, I just want to say good evening.
Well, good evening to you. And you can holler back when you get it turned back down.
Okay, sir.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye. Sometimes the magic works, sometimes it doesn't. But, it is conversation radio, so we can do that. Hey, we are an hour and 10 minutes into the program. We still have $290 in fundraising to go. There are challenges, courtesy of Steve and Ralph's, on the table that will turn $20 $10, two people at $10 get turned into
45. So it would be wonderful if someone would respond to that, and sooner rather than later, because fundraising holes are kind of terrifying. What else? Yeah, we already did that. Lindsey Graham is enraged. And we did up the made up quote about
they lose by default.
See, sometimes you can figure out the things that he's learned along the way. He's learned about default judgment, for instance. If you get served with a lawsuit and you don't answer, default judgment gets entered against you. That had to be explained to him because I guess at some point in time it was a risk for him because he just didn't want to respond to some lawsuit at some point. God, he's so stupid. And by now you all know about his Clavern rally last night in Michigan. He went to Michigan to find him a nice group of maggots who feel the same way that he does. But because he's Trump and because every time he opens his mouth, bats fly out. Well, last night in Michigan, while he was being impeached, you remember a couple of weeks back when the maggots all had a hissy and the first stripper, first lady, Melanoma, the first presidential wife ever to come into the White House with a history of having removed her clothing for the sexual gratification of perfect strangers in exchange for money. Remember when she got all hot and bothered? No, not like that. Because somebody mentioned the name of her kid. And then she didn't get hot and bothered when Trump attacked Greta Thunberg. And her spokescreep said that that was because Greta Thunberg had it coming because she went out and did activism to try to save the ability of this planet to support human life for her generation. Lo and behold, last night, Nitwit Nero himself brought up Barron. He was talking about the crowds that Elizabeth Warren draws, and he said,
I could have Barron Trump go into Central Park and he'd get a crowd, he'd get a bigger crowd, and he's only 13.
This then caused the internet to, tear him to shreds. With David Roberts pointing out a professional testifying before the House used Barron Trump's name in a joke unrelated to Barron Trump, and the media pretended to take the outrage seriously for weeks. Trump just taunted a grieving widow that her dead husband went to hell, and nobody will give a shit. Another individual said Trump hate rallying in Michigan tonight invoked his son Barron as a political tool. Used him as a put-down of Warren's crowd sizes, bragging that Barron could pull in as big a crowd as she did in Central Park. Waiting on FLOTUS to put down the tweet. Surely she'll scold Donald, right? No, of course not. But that's the other thing. The further diminution of the dignity of the presidency, and one wonders if the presidency will ever even recover. He did that last night, you know. He attacked the memory of John Dingell. Not that long deceased. This is the first Christmas season in over 30 years that Debbie Dingell has not had her husband with her. She is still grieving And she voted in favor of impeachment yesterday, which was entirely her right. And for her trouble, and it's really not a surprise. I mean, after all, John McCain's family has been through this as well. For her trouble, for standing up for the Constitution, for honoring the oath that she took, the President of the United States, granted he has no business being President of the United States, and were it not for the operation of a racist anachronism from our vicious slavery past, he would not be president. I'm talking about, of course, about the Electoral College. Well, Jesus Christ, this happened. You might want to get the hockey puck. Or maybe the bucket. Here we go.
Turned to everything. I gave him everything. That's okay. I don't want anything for it. I don't need anything for anything. She calls me up. It's the nicest thing that's ever happened. Thank you so much. John would be so thrilled. He's looking down. He'd be so thrilled. Thank you so much, sir. I said, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Maybe he's looking up. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. But let's turn to everything. I gave.
Yeah. Now, here at the Horn, of course, I'd say a whole bunch of us don't believe in the whole heaven and hell fantasy. One makes one's own afterlife, if there is one. And there aren't any pearly gates. Those are the fantasies of people who lived in a filthy, dusty, desert environment. And the idea of a blistering, hot pit, a lake of fire, of eternal torment created by some eternal being because he loves us so much. Yeah, no. But a lot of people do believe in that stuff. And so he sat there, stood there, playing his hand accordion. You know, his imaginary accordion. He sat there doing that, stood there doing that, and suggested that maybe John Dingell was in hell. Which is sleazy enough as it is. But you can tell that he is not an introspective man. You can probably figure out that he's a sociopath from that passage, because he never thinks about where he's going. See, the concepts of heaven and hell are meant to cause people to modify their behavior so as not to be tormented forever once they're dead. That's the carrot and the stick approach that's baked into religion. You're supposed to want to be a better person and not shit on other human beings and not rip them off and not abuse them and not rape them and, you know, all the things that Donald Trump has done. You're supposed to do that so that the eternal being who loves you so much won't torment you forever. Geezer Disgustus thinks he has a special relationship with the Almighty, and that whatever he does, the Almighty approves of. This really is a diagnosable form and badly in need of treatment form of megalomania. And it's an indication. It's a diagnosable evidence of psychosis, sociopathy, perhaps dementia. But as is always the case when he says something filthy and odious, it's not just that he is saying it. It's how the others respond.
Everything. That's okay. I don't want anything for it. I don't need anything for anything. She calls me up. It's the nicest thing that's ever happened. Thank you so much. John would be so thrilled. He's looking down. He'd be so thrilled. Thank you so much, sir. I said, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Maybe he's looking up. I don't know.
You hear the clapping? You hear the hooting? You hear the whistling from the maggots? From the people who show up and stand in sub-freezing temperatures to get to go inside some sort of an arena to be bathed in the space cadet glow of that kind of hate? That's where we are. That's an indication all of these things are of how much we have to fix when and God or whatever, let it be soon, we are shed of this misanthrope, the best part of whom ran down his mammy's leg. Jesus. And I want to compare this with something. You heard the crowd there. Let's see if we can get the crowd noise from, say, 12 years ago. That would be what? I think we can. It's not a terribly long clip. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear when he wasn't president, and I don't guess Even The Apprentice had made much of a dent yet. This is why I always try to remind people, if you're looking for some explanation for why he is the way he is and how he goes about manipulating his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing faithful, this is where you go. Professional wrestling.
Trump is in a world he is not familiar with. This is not real estate. This is the WWE. Donald Trump may have to get his hands dirty himself. Trump may have to cross that and get involved here. Hey, look at that!
Did you hear the crowd begin to roar? That was when Donald Trump attacked Vince McMahon. There is not a dime's worth of difference between a wrestling audience and a Trump audience. They're the same group. And it kind of makes sense. If you look at, if you look at the numbers for viewership of WWE, it's certainly not a majority of the United States. Well, consider this. Because of the makeup and the nature of the Senate of the United States, in order to avoid removal from office in a Senate trial of the bill of impeachment, all he needs is the senator is a group of senators who, taken together, represent 7% of the population, of the voters, 7% of the voters of the United States of America. Let that sink in. When you take together the way it will, the votes will probably play out, Donald Trump will be saved from removal from office because the senators, for 7% of the voters in this country, will prevail over the voters from 93% of the country. Wow. That's some democracy we got going there, isn't it? Yeah. Donnie says, please explain the 25th Amendment. This was a little while back. I went into it in some depth in yesterday's program. If you want to go back to, if you go over to headon.live, you can find that podcast rather easily. And in point, maybe tomorrow, Friday on the Front Porch, we'll delve into it again. But if you want to get an all the way down on the ground, an understanding all the way down to the beds of your toenails for just why we are where we are, the fact of the fundamentally undemocratic nature of the Senate explains a great deal of it. Look at the number of people represented by Moscow Mitch McConnell. Compare that to the number of people represented by Kamala Harris. Kentucky has maybe 5-7 House districts. California has how many? You know, West Virginia, where we cannot count on Joe Manchin to vote to convict Donald Trump in a Senate trial. He's not even a rounding error in New York. And that's not an accident. That's baked in. That's on purpose. I've got some thank yous to extend because Steve's challenge and Ralph's challenge were both met. And big thanks for that. Thank you so very kindly to Roberto. Thank you, Roberto. And thank you very kindly to Libby. Thank you very kindly indeed. So that means we are down to 245 and then down to 230. We got $230 to come up with to make it even through the through this far into the week and this far into the month. $230 to go. So thank you. Thank you very kindly to Libby and to Roberto. It is much appreciated. And Tracy's with us. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, I'm fine as frog's hair.
Well, you know, it's so funny.
Which is better than being hotter than fish grease.
Yes, hotter than fish grease. So today was one of those days where you don't get very often where I did not have anywhere or anything particular to do. So I spent most of the day at the gym. Now, in doing so, I did a workout at in a TRX class where they use the straps to suspend you, and you know you're working with gravity and your own body weight, which was amazing. And then I worked out in the pool for like 45 minutes, and then I was hungry, so after that I went to lunch and all that. And afterwards, have you ever had the most perfect nap ever? I mean, that nap, that's a combination of...
Oh, where you wake up and you're just fresh as a little daisy?
Yes.
Feel like maybe you slept 45 minutes and it feels like you got 8 hours?
Yes.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I mean, I can't stand you. But I had that nap. Because when I woke up, I was like, oh my God, how long have I been asleep? It was only 30 minutes. But it was such a perfectly deep REM sleep that it was just like, oh my God, I feel amazing. But while I was sleeping, you know how sometimes, you know, like when you fall asleep watching TV, stuff still filters through.
Right? Oh yeah, oh no, that happens.
Yeah, but so I fell asleep listening to KCRW, which is our local National Petroleum Radio affiliate, and so I woke up, I half heard, half sleep, heard them talking about Alyssa Slotkin, who's, I don't know which district she's from.
Michigan.
Michigan, okay. So, apparently, you know, she was one of these, you know, I guess moderate Democrats that people weren't sure as to whether or not she was going to actually vote for impeachment. But so they were interviewing her. I don't know if so much interviewing her, but they were, you know, following her journey through, you know, when she, back in September, when the whole, you know, actually started, and she reluctantly voted yes to the inquiry and all this. So I guess she went to the town hall meeting, and it was perfect what you were talking about the hooting and the hollering.
She got shrieked at by the maggots.
Oh my God, it was terrifying to hear. You're part of the squad, you know, you're run by Rashida and on. And I'm like, they wouldn't even let her speak. And then here you are talking about that 7% of this country is holding the rest of us hostage. And it was bone chilling and quite upsetting to hear, you know. And I'm just thinking now, if I'm scared, and I'm how many thousands of miles away from this situation, and not that any of this would happen, you know, would fall upon myself, but I'm sitting here in my car listening to this shit, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, what is she feeling right now or at that moment?
You know what? Right? I gotta think, Tracy, that there are no small number of members of the House and Senate who spend every day with a certain amount of fear, and that's of course my thesis with regard to why so many of these Republicans demonstrate such embarrassing levels of devotion to Tangerine Tiberius.
Exactly.
And it's not so much that they are in agreement with him or even particularly fond of him, but they know, and it goes beyond re-election, Tracy. They know that back at home, they got a whole bunch of constituents Well, back at home, there are more guns than voters. Okay? Yeah. Especially throughout the Confederacy. And so they understand that, that people the like them see betrayers as even worse than the people that they just don't like because they don't share their views.
Exactly.
And so to vote against Donald Trump or to speak out against Donald Trump makes you a betrayer, and they might just come and start shooting.
Mm-hmm. But then again, it's their own fault. You know, if before there was a Donald Trump, there was always the NRA and people not saying we need better gun, you know, gun control laws.
Right.
We need background checks and all this other stuff. And now the chickens are coming home to roost. Now they're going to have to worry about all these people that have we just had background checks. How many of them would not be eligible to have a gun?
No.
You know, but, you know, we can't have, you know, because that's the Second Amendment. And, you know, you can't be going and taking my guns away. Well, motherfucker, now you got to worry about those people who you didn't have them have their guns taken away or let them have guns in the first place. Now you got to worry about those assholes coming after your dumb ass. So I don't feel bad for you, for them, but I feel bad for all of the rest of us, you know, because we got to live with this shit as well. So I'm going to throw out a challenge.
Oh, thank you.
Before, because I kept hearing that idiot, one of those, the idiots screaming, you're part of the squad. You're Rashida Tlaib and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to throw out, I wish the fuck I was a part of the squad challenge.
Okay.
Is my homegirl.
I want to be a part of the fucking squad challenge. Tracy's, I want to be a part of the fucking, you know what? You are. And that's the thing. We all are, at least in their eyes.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And I mean, you've already got your reverse Oreo society. So you've got your own squad, Tracy.
I got my squad already.
Yeah.
You know, So
what needs to happen to fulfill said challenge?
It's a $50 challenge, Bob.
$50. Okay. So if there are 50 bucks worth of other folks out there who would like who themselves would like to be a squad or a member of the squad, Tracy would like to double your money for you. And that would take us down to $130 to go, which would be flipping awesome. So join Tracy's Horn Reverse Oreo Squad if you haven't already, and jump right in. The PayPal button's over at headon.live.
So yeah, we don't get, because of who we are and how we view the world and, you know, and we see what's going on amongst us and around us, and you know, so we don't get we get very few perfect days, and today for me was a perfect day.
This was a beautiful day here. Got up near 50 degrees.
Ooh.
And blue skies as far as the eye could see.
Mm-hmm.
And I confess, I do like a little afternoon nap. I do.
Man, Bob.
But it was not happening today.
Oh.
Because dude was outside my window.
No.
I've driven, and it always looks like, and I've commented on it in the past on the program, I drive around West Virginia and I see these signs with a phone number on it. And it says "Stump Grinding," and I said before, it just sounds pornographic. Stump Grinding, come on, baby, let's go stump grinding.
I can't with you.
Well, today outside my window, And I had no idea what it was like. I'd never seen one. Never seen it happen. It's kind of like that snake sex I was talking about earlier.
I'm sorry I missed that.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not.
No, earlier today I saw stump grinding in the wild.
And what the stump grinding? What does it consist?
Well, it involves a pretty damn big machine that's got some sort of burr blade on it, and you put it on the stump and it starts grinding. And where the stump was, you wind up with a hole with a whole bunch of wood chips in it.
Okay.
And it is a loud.
Okay,
duh. And it was right outside my window.
I am now special because duh. See, I'm also, I guess, not fully awake, stump grinding. We had a bunch of stuff.
It's Thursday.
In our backyard. Yes, it's Thursday. And, of course, and we had to have the people come in and do the stump grinding. And I was a witness to that as well. Fortunately, it wasn't during a time that I was napping, or trying to nap, but I totally had forgotten about it because it's been, 3 years ago. But when you said it, I'm like, oh, shit, yes.
Oh, yeah, the gas engine on that thing sounded like a fucking Corvette with no muffler.
Yes, man, dude, it's terrible. Not terrible, but terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, no, terrible. It was bad. No, I now, because they did as much as they could with the pickaxe to get it out.
This thing was on wheels. He just came up.
At first they started with the pickaxe, and then when that was no avail, that's when they went ahead and got the stump grinder. Did I say it with the right kind of voice?
Stump grinding. No, we need your Louisiana voice for this.
There it is. Stump grinder.
There you go. There we go. Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely. Stump grinder. So the other day when I tried to call, and I don't know what happened to my connection or what have you, I was trying to give you some pretty remarkably exciting news about my journey to return to. So, and I guess in every state, we have the Department of Rehabilitation.
Right.
And that's for people like who have a disability and need training or further education in order to get a better job. Well, so on Tuesday, they don't take appointments. You just walk in. And so I didn't know what to expect because I had been through the process before, but I didn't really follow through with anything. And I didn't really have a very good counselor, but anywho. So I get there and I hadn't even finished filling out the paperwork where the counselor calls me back. And we talk about, what my goals are and how I want to, my major is going to be Africana studies and how I wanted whatever I do as far as a career would be something in cultural sensitivity training, inclusion,
anti-racism,
stuff that I'm all about, stuff that, my life has been affected by, about 90% of my life is affected by racism. And so that part, and so met with the guy, he's like, I talked about how I've learned over the last year or so or two that I have to do things incrementally. First I have to take care of my mental health and get myself together with therapy and, the proper medication. And then once I got that under control, as much as anybody that is bipolar can, that's when I decided to start working on my physical health, with the weight loss and the working out and, eating better and getting more sleep. And I said, all of this is, preparedness for eventually going back to school, and I said, I really feel as though this is finally, because I have a clear path. I know what I want to do, and I really feel that this is, you know, finally something that I'm ready to do. And the guy, you know, was really cool. This is how cool this man was. So typically, when you sign up for services through the Department of Rehabilitation, they could take up to 5 months to complete your file. It depends totally on the counselor. But I just so happened to get a counselor that said, I don't make my clients wait for 5 months. The only thing that's keeping you at this point is one piece of paper that has to be filled out by my therapist. And once that paper is filled out by my therapist and turned back in, I'm in for funding for them, because they'll pay for me to go back to school to finish my bachelor's and possibly even to go on to get my master's. We'll, you know, we just, at this point, mama's just trying to finish and get her bachelor's. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's hard to start thinking about the PhD when you haven't. There's a process.
There's a process. And the first process is just finishing my bachelor's and getting through that process. And then once I get, like I said, incrementally, I can't think about a master's. I can think about it because actually there's a graduate school. It's called Pacific Oaks University. And they actually have an MFA, an MA program in African-American family therapy.
Ooh.
It's that part. And then you can do a dual specialization in that and trauma, to treat trauma as well. So now, as far as, so that is, I have that stowed away in a spot where, okay, this is, if you want to go on to get your master's, and, here's the place so far, because there's not many places where you can get a master's at It depends. Every school is different on the way they work, the degree. Some is, a Black study. Some are African American studies. Some schools is Africana studies. And in California, there's only two schools that offer a master's in any kind of Black studies, and that would be UCLA or Pacific Oaks University College, I believe. But the problem is, they're the only ones that offer the master's in therapy if I wanted to do, get my MFT or whatever, or else, licensed clinical psychologist or something like that. But like I said, my thing is just finishing and getting my bachelor's and being able to finally finish something that has been 35 years in the making, seeing that I graduated from high school in 1984. So, yeah, that was sad. But, hey, it is what it is. So, with that said, how are you doing? Now that I've, enough about me. How do you feel about me? No, just kidding.
Yeah, I'm okay. And 47 degrees beats the living be Jesus out of 16.
That part.
I was talking with our buddy Arnold up in PA earlier today, and he said, "That's what it is. It's 16."
Oh no!
And that's just hateful. That's just hateful.
And I'm going to, remember I was talking about that perfect day and, how cold it has been here
right.
In the last few days. Waking up and going for a run and it's 37 degrees. And I know, none of you motherfuckers on the East Coast are going to talk shit about me and that's not cold. That's short to peace, really, and blah, blah, blah. That's L.A. So I'm going to have to qualify this. L.A. cold, okay? 38 degrees.
Yeah, no. That's known as no sympathy cold.
Right, but it's for me, it's L.A. cold, and you guys, I feel bad for you on the East Coast and in the Midwest where you're dealing with this funky, stupid-ass weather. But please don't come down on me. I'm not trying to, you know, brag or anything like that, you know, but it is what it is. This is, you know, I live in L.A. for a reason. I don't do cold. I like you said, it's hateful and it's rude and it's mean. And if it was possible, I think cold weather is basically Republicans because they're mean and they're rude and they're hateful. So that part. But anywho, back that remember I was talking about that perfect day. Did I mention that it was 72 degrees today?
Nice.
It still is, actually. I mean, just like I said, I don't get many of these days where I could just kind of do what I want to do. If my phone wasn't ringing off the hook with the wife screaming, where are you? The gym wasn't crowded. I had a whole swim lane to myself. And, the Y that I go to, they have a jacuzzi. And there was nobody, it's a small one, I can't remember the last time I actually was in a jacuzzi. And those bubbles hit the shoulder.
Don't they just
back,
feel good?
You know, and like I said, and then I went to lunch and had something, you know, stuff that was just really wrong. But, you know, I didn't care because I had a hankering.
Oh, when you got a hankering, you got to answer the hankering. And, you know, there's no way I can do anything about it, but I was looking around. You know, those jacuzzi tubs, I'm sure the install would be expensive, but the tubs themselves aren't that terrible.
No, they are not. They really are not.
Especially if you get one of those corner triangular-shaped tubs.
Yes. No, this thing was, it was just wonderful. I was so relaxed, and then I went and had, wait for it. Do you guys have a restaurant chain out in, I appreciate you probably don't, but Islands, ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, well, it's a place where it's just, you know, basic burgers, fries, really good drinks, but hand-cut fries seasoned to perfection with the skin still on them. Okay?
Is that kind of like Five Guys fries?
Yes, but not as greasy.
Or expensive.
Actually, it's expensive.
I mean, I go to Five Guys. I try to go to Five Guys, and I have an existential crisis.
Yes, I hadn't been in a while, and then I went about a year ago to Five Guys, and when I finished paying for it, just me by myself, nobody else was with me, Bob. That was almost $30 for a hamburger and fries and something to drink.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. You can go. By the time you're done at Five Guys, you've paid for a sit-down steak dinner at Outback. Understanding that Outback has gone way down, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. As a matter of fact, I got a gift card, and we haven't used it yet.
Oh, but one thing I was going to mention, I needed to anyway. You know, when I'm in West Virginia, it's all the way down to Charleston. And then across the river and up a hill to go to a Target, and I like Target so much more than Wally World.
Than Wally World, yes.
And I got one close to me, you know, easy to access. And the funny thing is, We've got a listener who has spent his career at Target.
Oh, okay.
And it's so funny because every time I walk into that store, I think of him. And it's just kind of, you know, how my weird little mind works, and it just bang. And so one thing I found out I didn't know about Target, I walked in there the other day. I was looking for a little pour over coffee set,
mm-hmm.
because they're a lot cheaper than other ways of making coffee, and I found one. But
cool.
As I walked through, and I learned this much: you got to be the key to the pour over is you got to pour
the boiling water, well, not quite boiling, 190 degrees, goddammit, you know, coffee snobs. You got to pour the hot water over the grounds really painfully, almost zen-like, slowly.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's my first couple of cups were just brown water.
Terrible.
But the other thing I noticed that I didn't know is wherever I went inside that Target, I was just overcome with the smell of what I knew had to be fresh, hot, made on the place caramel corn. I know yeah. that smell. I know that smell.
I know that smell.
And lo and behold, it was. I'm a hillbilly. I'm a simple person. I'm humored simply.
Yes.
And so, and after I checked out my little pour over gizmo, I went straight over to the little snack bar.
Got you some caramel corn.
You damn Skippy, I did.
Was it still warm?
Yes, it was fresh. It was even ever so slightly gooey.
Heaven.
Glory. Glory.
Glory. See, this should have been on Premier Weekly with the way you're saying glory.
Oh, it glory. Was wonderful.
So, oh,
By the way, from the No Sympathy Department,
here we go.
I just got a screen cap from Les. Just said that this was my day today, and Les drives over the road. Schenectady, New York, 4 degrees.
Ow!
Clear.
Ow! 4 fucking degrees.
Yeah, 4 lonely little goddamn degrees Fahrenheit. You know, this isn't any of that sissy ass Celsius where 4 degrees is like, you know, 42 or something.
Sissy ass Celsius.
This is 4 lonely little shitty freezing degrees. This is, you know, this is 4 degrees away from a zero that's 32 degrees below freezing. I mean, Fahrenheit is a hateful scale.
Hateful.
I mean, Celsius kind of makes sense that, you know, zero, you know, I mean, it's scientific, you know. Zero is the temperature at which water freezes. And 100... is the temperature at which water boils, and everything happens in between. But Fahrenheit is just
vicious. It's German, right?
Yeah,
it's German.
Yeah,
See, I didn't even thought about the fact until the way you pronounced it, Fahrenheit. So it's like, see, those Germans are some hard. They some cold neck bones, man. So, yeah,
did you just say there's some cold neck bones?
Yeah. I've never said that on the air.
No, that's a new one.
So we got Tracyism. So we got hot fish grease.
And cold neck bones.
Cold neck bones. So from one end of to the other. Some cold neck bones.
No, because they got all that congealed fat around them and shit.
Congealed fat around them and just not good. So when you were talking about, you know, how you had that caramel corn and how that just hit everything.
Oh, it lit up every pleasure center in my brain.
So. Remember I said I went to Islands for lunch and I had a hankering. And the hankering started probably, let's see, I did the TRX as I got in the pool. So maybe probably at about the sixth lap or so in the pool, it hit me what I wanted from Islands to satisfy that hankering that I had going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you about the fries, right? That they're a better and lighter, a better version of the, and thank you for, you know, now you have something to compare it to. So they are a much better and less greasy version of the Five Guys fries. So I had those fries, wait for it, with a cheddar and Monterey Jack blend melted over the fries with scallions and bacon.
Ooh.
And just for shits and giggles, just to make sure that I had fucked up all of my points for today.
just fuck them. Get them points over here and fuck them.
Just fuck them. Yes, I had chunky blue cheese dressing to dip the fries in.
Ooh, oh, well, of course you did. It ain't worth ordering the fries if you don't have blue cheese to dip them in.
Yes. Not that old nasty-ass ranch dressing.
No, you would fit right in either in downtown Pittsburgh or downtown Morgantown, West Virginia.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Really? Yeah. Fries and blue cheese is a very Morgantown thing to do. It's a very WVU thing to do.
I love me some blue cheese dressing and some fries, Lord Jesus. And then sometimes if it's plain fries, it's blue cheese dressing and barbecue sauce.
The other thing, I know, we're going there. Mayonnaise and malt vinegar.
God! You have to fuck it up with the goddamn mayonnaise.
Well, what do you think's in the blue cheese?
Not any blue cheese that I make.
Well, what do you make it with?
I make it with... Oh, shit, I lied.
Yeah, you did, see? And see, it's all going to change when I figure out a way to ship you some Duke's mayonnaise. But no, with really, really good fries, a nice load of salt, and then malt vinegar. Happy time.
Yeah. I don't like, I mean, because I'm not a big, I don't really like malt vinegar. That is definitely a Jan thing when she goes and we have fish, we go out and she orders fish and chips. The malt vinegar with that, I don't particularly like it. But that blue cheese, and it was chunky blue cheese.
Yeah, well, you know what, when assuming that we get the horn end put together, I'll just direct you to a little place, a little cafe. Dude makes his own blue cheese every day, and he only makes it. He's from Louisiana, cooked in South Carolina, and he only makes it out of Duke's. And see, if Todd's listening right now, he's going, yeah, Duke's. Mm-hmm. And Steve from Georgia stands going, yeah, definitely Duke's.
Duke's, definitely Duke's.
And he makes awesome blue cheese dressing. And I'll show you the very place.
Okay.
They got awesome.
Well, you know, we got to get the horn end going. So yeah. I can know, because remember, Tracy got to buy her ticket. So, you know.
Well, I'm putting together all the data, and here's what I'm planning. And God, I hope, I mean, because the whole purpose behind it is to sort of provide a little funding bump so that we can fix a lot of things. In the relatively recent past, there at the fabulous, at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Yeah, we've had a lot of things go sideways, rather badly. And so we've got to make some repairs.
Is that including your kitchen?
We've had things that weren't, the things that have been screwed up for a while, that's part of it. But the other part of it is the things that have recently become screwed up.
Oh.
Yeah. I got new floor. I got to put new floors and subfloors and fix joists in a couple of rooms.
Oh,
yeah, it's going to be ugly. So the whole point is to do the horn in, and you know, get between 30 and 50 people to participate. And you know, it's going to be a turnkey operation.
It's going to be a package. So it'll be room and food and entertainment, everything, basically everything but travel.
Okay. Well, that's like I said, the travel I can handle. I need time to convince the Oompa Loompa, better known as my wife.
You're going to get caught saying that one of these nights? You're going to get caught?
No, I call her that to her face.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, no, no. This is not something that is new. This is something that I've been called. Actually, my best friend Sarah's the one that started calling her Oompa Loompa, because Sarah's kind of pretty tall for a woman. And so she looks down, especially she's one of those tall women that wear heels because she can, and she just likes to fuck with people.
Yeah,
because
it just makes her taller.
Taller. So.
And she can sneer and look down.
Uh-huh. We were somewhere, and I think she had on heels, and Jan walked by her, and she's like, oh, my God, she's a Oompa Loompa. And it just stuck. Speaking of sticking, Saturday is our 5-year anniversary, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
5 years. Well, we've been together 7, the 5-year wedding. That's wedding 2, y'all. That's 5 years ago from the December wedding. Remember, there was 2. So, you know me, I can't do anything half-assed. I got to just, I got to go full throttle because, who only has one wedding? That's just so, beneath me, so that part. But the more I think about the horn-in, the more excited I get about it, because I actually put out there that there was, by the end of next year, that you and I, come hell or high water, we were going to meet in person. I didn't know what I was going to have to do, but we were going to figure it out. If I was to bring your ass out here, or you come, or I come to you, whatever the case may be. So we just got to figure this shit out on what's happening, because I don't think my life can go on soundly and until it's, or whatever, if I don't actually lay eyes upon you and Agnes. It's more so about Agnes. You do realize
that,
right?
I do. I realize that it's never about me. I'm the Rhoda. She's the Mary.
It's all about, your present consequence. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. But it's all about Agnes. So, it is something
I'm comfortable with that. After 26 years of connubial bliss, I'm absolutely comfortable with that.
And that's a good thing. You're not all puffed up. Could you imagine?
Marriage teaches humility.
Yes, it does. Now, could you, how you said that you're fine with that because, you know who the boss is and you are cool with that because you ain't stupid. Now, could you imagine? Now, remember, this is just an imagination thing and it would never happen. But could you imagine if I, that me and Donald Trump were homies? So, this is I'm really in hell. Ew. And I called him up and said, I'm coming to see you, but it's not about you, homie. It's about, I'm all about melanoma, that I have to see her. Could you imagine?
How dare you?
I thought we were friends.
Because there's fun to be had here, get a nice bluegrass band to come and play one night or whatever, and we will do some eating. We will be eating some barbecue.
So my points are just fucked.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have the potato salad too. The barbecue won't screw your points. You don't have to slather it. You don't have to slather it in the honey and molasses based sauce.
Fuck you. I hate you. Hate you with a purple passion. But here's the thing. This is something that I just found out recently. So, and I'm sorry about the bored people with Weight Watchers shit. So anyway, there's my daily points.
And then you have what they call your weekly points. Those are the points that, you know, you get 45 weekly points. And then if you don't use all your points for the day, you get rollover points. You get up to 4 rollover points to go into your weekly to use, you know, like if you're going to a party or our case, if I'm coming to the Hornet. But then I found out that I also get activity points.
Oh, so if you do stuff to burn more stuff off, you get a bonus?
Yes. So I average, because most people average maybe 5 or 10 points or what have you. I average about 100 and some odd points over, sometimes 200 points a week in activity points. That once I use my daily points and once I use, if I go through my dailies and my weeklies, I still have activity points that I can use. And since I work out every single goddamn day at various, you know, various districts, because here's the beautiful thing, because see, I'm bad at remembering to do shit. Like when I track, I track my food, but I'm not as good at it as I should be because I got to, you know, you got to stop and remember to do that shit. But the cool thing is since I have my Apple Watch and since my Apple Watch is synced to my Weight Watchers app, every time I do something, as far as if I walk, if I swim, just any activity that I'm actually physically moving, no matter how much my heart rate is pumping, going, or what have you, I get points for that. So, and I don't have to remember to track them. So they automatically go into my my reserve. Reserve. So
that gives you room to play.
Yes, yeah, so when I do come
play with your food
and hang out with you, you know, and Agnes, well, mostly Agnes, when I come
to we're gonna park Jan in a gambling den, right?
Yeah, because we'll park her in a gambling den because you can smoke in your gambling dens, right?
Correct. And by the way, for those watching on Facebook this evening, I wonder if no cigarettes. And right here.
Wait, you're on Facebook Live right now?
Oh, yeah. And right here is the magic untouched cherry Tootsie Pop. The emergency Tootsie Pop.
So I could, well, I can't watch you now because I'm driving. That would be really, 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 really bad. But I can go back and look at. So are you doing this on your Facebook page?
Or on my Facebook page.
Wow, that's so fucking cool.
I don't know how cool it is. I've been kind of glancing at it out of the corner of my eye, and I don't understand the appeal of video. but you know, I'm there in all my not glory.
Well, you're not doing naked radio, right? You're not in a Speedo, right?
No. We're saving that for after the crowdfunding campaign. Don't want to run people away. We're trying to make this thing succeed.
You might get extra money just to say so. People say, you know.
No. It's going to be you know, contribute at this level to make sure Bob remains fully clothed during the program. And during the horn in.
Now you're talking June, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully, you know, I still have to find. Well, I did.
Oh, I have happy news. Elizabeth jumped in. Thank you very kindly, Elizabeth. Elizabeth jumped in and met half of your challenge. So there's only $25 to go, and if that gets met, then that will mean that we're down to 130.
When
Thank you, Elizabeth.
When that gets met. Thank you, Elizabeth. And so people other than Elizabeth, because she already gave that 25. Now listen here. Now listen to Mama Tracy now. If, and this is, you know, not if but when, that $25, that other $25 shows up, because I know it will, because I have faith. And my Horn family members, I will also throw in an undisclosed amount. That's only between Bob and I. So, and if, you know, if it's really good, then I might tell people what I'm going to contribute. But on that note, I need you guys because, again, this, you know I go on, and I talk a lot and stuff, and I talk a lot of shit. But the one thing I do, I agree, and I know you people.
Yeah.
Or family.
You people.
You people. And it's a good you people. It's not those you people. It's a good you people. It's a Horn
you,
family.
You can always use y'all.
Y'all. I need y'all to listen and pay attention.
And for the people in Western Pennsylvania, that means yins.
Yins. I need you guys to listen. And we need to keep this on the vibe going. So few outlets to, you know, get and have our voices be heard. And I was thinking about this the other day when I, on last Friday on the front porch, when it was just, what is that word that kind of, when there's a whole bunch of noise going on at the same time and nothing's really being heard?
Cacophony.
That. And so that was what was going on last Friday with the Friday on the front porch. But I thought about why. It is not often, because, you know, everyone was talking at the same time and nothing was being heard. But then I realized what was happening. It is not very often people like us have a voice, that our voices are heard. So when we have the opportunity, be it, you know, if you call in on the show during, you know, Monday through Thursday, or if you participate in the front Friday on the front porch, this is our chance, or somebody else, our chances to actually be heard. And so when you get a chance to be heard, especially when you're not, you know, you don't get heard by the people that we voted for or didn't vote for, or, you know, our bosses, our spouses, or whoever, the people that should be listening to us and they don't. So we have a chance to actually get heard. And so in the excitement of the chance, I was like, oh my God, I get to be heard and my points get to be, you know, appreciated and listened to. And I have an audience of people who, you know, are on the same page as I am and have pretty much the same thoughts and we're in agreement. People get excited and we over-talk each other. But the problem with over-talking each other, nobody gets heard.
Right.
So the message gets lost.
Yeah, and you know, so, we've been better at it, but sometimes when the topic is really compelling, people can
get heated.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, before we wrap up, and it's not if, it's when the other half of your challenge gets met. I got a news story for you that's gonna make the rest of your evening.
In a good way?
Well, you kind of. I think so.
But before you do the story, let me just wrap that. What I'm saying is, so yeah. If we want to keep our voices heard, but especially Bob's voice heard, and we want the chance to have what we think and what we feel heard, we have to contribute to the show. And I'm not talking, you know, like I make those contributions because I'm able to, but a dollar here, $5 there, it go, because those dollars add up. Those $5 add up. So I'm imploring, is that the word?
Yes.
I'm, you know, beseeching. I am begging you, because I need, for my own, and I'm not even kidding with this, my own mental health, I need Bob to stay on the air. And I know I am not the only one who feels that way. So with that said, okay, I'm off my soapbox, so tell me about the story so I can hopefully I'll be smiling.
Well, over at the Department of Agriculture, an individual by the name of Francis Tseng, T-S-E-N-G,
of the Jine Family Institute made a discovery on the USDA website. Francis Singh was just going over the website, looking at our trading partners, and discovered, yes, that Wakanda was listed as a free trade partner of the United States of America by the Trump administration. Told you. I like it when I got a story that makes you hoot like that instead of scream like a banshee. Yes,
no!
Yes, it was
a joke.
No, it was on the drop down menu for the Department of Agriculture's Foreign Agricultural Services Tariff Tracker, alongside Colombia, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, and Peru. And among other things, it said that. It noted that Wakanda. No, wait! It gets better. It gets so much better. Wakanda is known for producing beef, asses, and hennies. I kid you not. Live asses, mules, and hennies. Potatoes, chestnuts, but there was no mention of that heart-shaped purple flower.
Or the what's the metal verinium that?
So when the news came out, Wakanda suddenly disappeared. I guess Wakanda is no longer a free trade partner of the United States. And somebody at the USDA said,
"Did he do a screenshot?"
Oh, it's that. Yes, you can find the story over at the Guardian. U.S. officials remove Black Panther's Wakanda from list of trading partners. Personally, they claimed that they created the Wakanda listing for purposes of testing the website. Now, I don't know how long the USDA's had a website, but I can't imagine. No, this just sounds like somebody fucking off. But the thing is, once it became public, it was immediately pulled. And I prefer the idea. I've just got it in my head that this individual called and said, "Can you tell me about the Wakanda listing?" And somebody went, "Oh shit! What if Trump finds out about this? He'll be calling Wakanda a shithole country. Fuck! Get it away! Get it off there!
Get it! Yeah. Oh my God!"
NBC inquired, and a USDA spokesman by the name of Mike Illenberg said, "The Wakanda information should have been removed after testing and has now been taken down." I just thought that would do your heart good.
I had an amazing workout. I had a wonderful lunch, and typically, especially like usually by now, my eyes are heavy. I can barely keep my eyes open. I'm driving, you know, I keep 5-hour energy shots in my cab just for the likelihood, because it's inevitable that I'm going to, you know, or it's around usually about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I'm taking Penny home. It's mostly when I'm on my way home. And there was one day I was just so tired that I actually literally had to pull over and go and buy a 5-hour energy drink.
Those things are so damn hard on you. They're tough.
They're tough.
Well, I got one more.
They're not as bad as Red Bulls.
No, I don't know how anybody drinks those. And never drink Rockstar energy beverages, because even if it's not now, at some point in time, Michael Savage Wiener was involved in promoting that. So, okay, but I've got Savage. I've got another one for you that'll make you smile. Long, 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 long time ago, there was a magazine called Christianity Today.
Oh,
long time ago.
Was founded by Billy Graham. Christianity Today.
Oh.
Well, the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, since we didn't do any prayer meeting Wednesday stuff yesterday, Mark Golly.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Mark Golly's the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, and he wrote an editorial.
Did you say Golly?
Yeah, Golly, G-A-L-L-I.
Like Golly G?
No, this is Golly, G-A-L-L-I, as in form of all Gaul is divided into three parts. It's probably French. Okay. But Mark Golly, the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, published an editorial in that magazine founded by Billy Graham, and he wrote, "None of the president's positives can balance the moral and political danger we face under a leader of such grossly immoral character," and went on to call for Trump's removal from office.
What?
Somewhere Franklin Graham is having a shit hemorrhage.
Oh,
they've got 4.3 million visitors to their website. And they've got hundreds of thousands of print subscribers.
Ooh, he called for the removal?
Yeah.
So he's a Christian.
Yeah, he said, "It's time to call a spade to say that no matter how many hands we win in this political poker game, we are playing with a stacked deck of gross immorality and ethical incompetence."
Yeah, was that a shot fired across the bow?
Shots fired.
Stop.
And then to the many evangelicals who continue to support Mr. Trump in spite of his blackened moral record, we might say this: remember who you are and whom you serve.
Oh, shit. He's calling the motherfuckers out.
That he should be removed, we believe, is not a matter of partisan loyalties, but loyalty to the creator of the Ten Commandments. If we don't reverse course now, will anyone take anything we say about justice and righteousness with any seriousness for decades to come?
Ooh, shit. This motherfucker was not playing. What is this Christianity? Cause see,
Christianity Today. At CT Magazine. On Twitter, at CT Magazine. So that having been said, we will await the other half of your challenge being met. I will message you when that happens.
Please do.
Because we are planting.
I know you got to go.
We are planting a faith seed here, right? It's a seed faith. I mean, it works for the prosperity gospel, folks, right?
That part. Mm-hmm.
And I got somebody waiting to come on the stress line. Yeah. So Tracy, you have a lovely evening. I'm glad you had the perfect nap today.
I'm going to go in the store and buy, because I'm eating shrimp and stuff for dinner. Jan doesn't want it, so you know what? I got to make her a hunk of meat and a potato.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, I need a hunk of meat and a spud.
That's my wife. Right there, a hunk of meat and a spud. But at least, it's a yam. So she does like yam. So
that's a win.
You know what?
I found a little real authentic. You know, not one of those Mexican restaurants where the menu has a number F for lunch. You know, lunch number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number F, number seven. No, it's not one of those. This is the real thing, and I found one of those, and I think there's going to be some serious tacos in my future.
Nice. Well, you have a wonderful day. Rest of the eat. It's what, 6:30? Where are you? What time is it where you are?
Yeah, it's 6:30 here.
6:30? So you still early enough to, you know, to have the rest of the good evening and have a decent meal. Anyway, I love you so much. Keep me posted about the challenge, and I'm hope. And I know y'all gonna go ahead and send some more money. Now, come on now. That part.
And you know what?
Love y'all.
It happened. What? It's already happened.
See.
see, it's that old black magic. I got that voodoo.
That voodoo
that you do so well.
Okay, yeah. So now we got to do that. You remind me of a man. You say what man?
No. What man?
The man with the power.
What power?
The power of voodoo.
Voodoo?
You do.
Voodoo?
Remind me of a man. Yeah. Hey, it's been met and exceeded. So thank you to Dave, and thank you to Paula. Thank you very kindly. That means that we are now down to only 105 to go to get even with this evening, and that would make for tomorrow's Friday on the Front Porch to be downright bland. Just the usual.
Okay, well, now that you... The challenge has been exceeded. I said 50, so I'm going to throw in another $25 challenge to see what else happens with that. So that part.
All righty. Remember, this is the Tracy Squad Challenge, part dur.
Part dur.
And that'll take us down to if another 25 rolls in, that'll take us down to only $55 to go to finish the evening. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you immensely.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So anyway, go answer whoever's holding on to the line. I love you, and hopefully I'll be around the seat for tomorrow's Friday on the Front Porch.
I hope so, and we will not overtalk each other.
Please don't.
All right.
Please don't.
Don't make Auntie Tracy lecture. You take care, Tracy.
You too. Bye.
Bye. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver calling from the mean streets of L.A. And, hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, there's Jim. What's happening, Jim?
You. How are you? How are things in Alabama?
Well, you know, it's always going to be Talabama, but I got to say, there's something to be said for 47 degrees on the 19th day of December.
You know, that's one reason why
that's not South Carolina warm, but it's warm.
You can have South Carolina warm. I can tell you that right now. I'm not a hothouse creature. I never have been. So I like four individual seasons. You don't have them in South Carolina, that's for sure.
Well, it's definitely in the dead season here. There's not, you know, all the trees are barren. It's just tolerable when you go outside, and you know, being able to do that without putting on 19 layers of clothes is kind of a bonus.
I can identify with that also. I bet it's a pretty cold place myself. I know how you feel, and pursuant to what you were discussing with Mitch, Moscow Mitch, and Mr. Graham, Senator Graham, and of course Mr. Trump as well. I think that Trump's going to be pretty hard to deal with when he gets past his trial in the Senate, because I don't think he's going to be removed.
Well, that's the thing. There's not going to be right now. There's no plan for a trial.
Well, even if they were to have one, McConnell, with his regime, his sleight of hand, would engineer that he would not be removed. You know that.
The votes aren't there. But the thing is, the difference is it just going to be a gavel it in and pass a motion and grant a motion to dismiss? Or will they hear from people that the administration has forbidden us from hearing from? You know, your John Bolton, Boltons and Mick Mulvaney's and whatnot. Mike Pompeo.
They're not going to do that. If they do, it would surprise me greatly. It really would. I don't think that they'll ever be heard. And I think that Trump is going to be with us for another 4 years. Unfortunately, I don't like it any more than you. But I'm just looking at things realistically. Dreadfully sorry, sir.
Well, there was some booing last night. He needs Michigan. He's got to carry Michigan again. And there was some booing at his Klan rally when he started shitting all over the memory of John Dingell, because John Dingell is one of those human beings who actually served the people he went to serve and made lives, American lives, yours, mine. We didn't know it. He didn't make a lot of noise about it.
Better.
But he made things better. And people know that.
And what Trump did last night was extremely horrible. But it's, you know, typical Trump.
Yeah, and, I mean that's why I played that clip from the WWE. You know, he leaps on Vince McMahon. It's back in 2007, and the crowd in the arena goes wild, and they're wee and whistling and hooting and hollering, and it sounds just like a Trump rally.
Well, same type of people as his, you know, basically. Cage fight, other vegetables that are,
right.
in my opinion, too disgusting to even talk about. They really are terrible. And, I remember they had one at the end of that movie, Bruno. That was just incredible.
Oh, God.
Really showed exactly what these people are. Have been and will continue to be. But I don't like it any more than you, but I do not have any great hopes for Donald being removed. That's for sure. It's just a bad time in our history.
Well, look, it's a rigged system. Because that two-thirds majority is hard to get under any situation, but there is a little bit of a linguistic wrinkle, because the Constitution says two-thirds of the senators present. It doesn't say two-thirds majority of those of all the members of the Senate. So all we got to do is figure out a way to get a whole bunch of Republican senators to go on a little trip somewhere.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
I hear they like to visit Russia on the 4th of July.
Well, no, not Grant. I've been to Russia. As a matter of fact, I'm putting together a model of St. Basil's Cathedral right now.
No, but don't you remember when all those good God-fearing, freedom-loving Republican senators spent the 4th of July in Moscow a couple of years back?
Well, they won't be doing that when Trump is when they're needed to support Trump and his case.
You're a real killjoy, Jim.
Sorry, fella, but I just be realistic. They're not going to do that. That's for sure. By the way, St. Basil's Cathedral is one of the most beautiful buildings you'll ever see. I hope you get to see it.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. Those Ogive domes and, yeah.
Yeah, when Ivan the Terrible had it built, he was so pleased with the architect, he had it blinded, so he could not make any more like it.
Great guy, that Ivan.
He was something else, and it caused a terrible for nothing. I know Queen Elizabeth wasn't real happy, Elizabeth I, when she had the opportunity of burying him.
Well, and that whole business of killing your own heir, that's pretty terrible too.
Well, that was an accident. Bob, he just hit him with that long staff. As a matter of fact, there's a picture of it. A portrait was done by a Russian artist of him holding his dead son. And he did look really terrible. As a matter of fact, he was exhumed in 1939, if I'm not mistaken. And they found in his corpse, or what was left, tremendous amounts of mercury.
Of what?
Mercury.
Oh. You think
mercury was used as some type of medicine then?
Oh yeah. Well, if you were to do the same for Lincoln, you'd probably find something similar, because Lincoln had terrible gut problems, and he took a patent medicine called Blue Mass. Okay. And Blue Mass was almost nothing but mercury.
Well, that isn't very good for you. And they have found, or they did find, when they exhumed his corpse, that there were significant amounts of mercury, and it absolutely drove him crazy. Of course, I don't think he had much further to go anyway without the mercury, but nonetheless, he was a very, very horrible person. That's the damn sure.
Well, I have a story here that seems particularly well suited to the fact that you and I are conversing, and
okay.
I think it will elicit some commentary from you. There's two stories actually. So I'm thinking.
May I tell you one thing before you start?
Yeah, go.
You know, I sent you this thing about Gallus the Wind and one of the stars of it who played India Wilkes.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Rett. I knew her personally, and she was a radio person down here in Charleston where I went to school at Citadel. And she also did a portrait of me. And it's hanging right here. I can look at it right now.
I'll be darned. How wonderful.
She was an incredibly wonderful person.
Did she do the portrait of you as a cadet?
Yes, in my white uniform. And she was a delightful person. So delightful. And I can remember my mother telling me the book was published by Margaret Mitchell. She and her mother motored over to Columbia, South Carolina, and bought an autographed copy.
Back when people motored.
Exactly. And I had that book here, signed by her.
You had? Oh, wow. What a treasure.
Well, it is, indeed. And I know people listening from the sound of my voice might not think a whole lot of it, but it sure as hell means a lot to me.
Oh, gosh, yes. Gosh, yes. No, I mean, no. I don't think people would give you shit for having that.
Well, it means a lot to me from my roots and from my background and my heritage and my ancestors. They were not bad people. They were good people in many respects. And they were not the people that were predicted by Harriet Beecher Stowe. They were not. But I had to say that because it's really been bothering me for a long time.
No, I understand. I mean, my grandfather was a Klansman, okay? And
well, people were not Klansmen.
Well, my grandfather was a Klansman, and you can find any number of people who knew him and said he was one of the finest folks they ever knew. But he was a Klansman.
Well, you know, my dad was mayor of Kansas for almost 20 or 30 years, and he took a lot of guff because of his position with the hatred that people had for black people. And I can remember on several occasions looking out on our front lawn to see a cross burning there.
Yeah.
I have no love for those people. They are horrible, and they're stupid, illiterate, redneck, who basically have no reason to live on this earth.
In the case of my grandfather, he was what he was, but he repented of it, and that's the important part. He repented of it. He left it. He wanted nothing further to do with it. And one of the reasons we know that is because in the 1928 presidential race, he actively and vociferously supported a Roman Catholic Democratic nominee for the presidency.
Well, good for him, because those people in the Betty Cute Brigade, they hate everybody. And I said, I don't say hated. They still hate everybody.
And see, by the time that my grandfather had repudiated the Klan, Donald Trump's daddy was still in it.
Oh, boy. What a legacy Trump has, doesn't he?
Yeah. I still don't understand
how that man could be elected president of this country.
Well, look, I mean, he lost by 2.8 million votes.
It wasn't a whole lot, but still.
I mean, if we cannot finally figure out, after having had two presidents and at least three presidential terms foisted upon us by the operation of an anachronistic remnant of our slavery past, if that's not enough to help us figure out that the Electoral College has got to go, then, you know, we're around the bowl and down the hole.
Well, a lot of talk has been made to abolish that particular institution, but it never comes to any fruition.
Well, that's because nobody ever bothers to introduce. They keep trying to come up with compacts and ways to do it without amending the Constitution. The Constitution needs to be amended to simply remove the Electoral College. I know there are Democrats in small states who say, well, it just means that presidential candidates will only campaign in California and New York. And, you know, fuck that, because the bottom line is, if you're going to call yourself a republic based upon democratic principles, then don't have a system that lets the person with fewer votes win the office. And that is precisely what the Electoral College does, Jim.
Well, there is a great deal of truth in what you say, actually. There is. And, of course, it can only be removed by a constitutional amendment, I would assume.
Well, no, it could conceivably be done away with by interstate compact, but that is subject to being that's subject to being challenged in court. The only way to do it, it's like driving a stake through Dracula's heart, Jim. That's the only way to make sure Dracula stays in the dirt. The only way to get rid of the Electoral College is to kill it with an amendment.
Well, that's it. You basically said what I said, too. And it's somewhat unlikely that they're going to do away with an institution like that that can provide for the election of someone like Donald Trump, because you've got a lot of bad elements.
But we're going to have a we're going to have a Congress that can pull it off. And that means a Congress that at the very least has Democratic majorities in both houses. But it becomes
even last night. I'm sorry.
No, please, you.
Well, you saw last night exactly how they are and how some of these people reacted. And it's a miracle, actually, that we were able to obtain a majority in the House when we did. How long we will keep it, I don't know. You've got so many strong economic and corporate elements that are for what they represent. And that's an awful difficult thing to overturn. Or it, to me, it's almost insurmountable.
Well, but the only way to make sure that it never happens is to never try. And by the way, you just got a note from Lady B, who says, "Oh, hi, Jim. Love you."
And the same to her. I always enjoy what she has to say, and I want to make the mark repeatedly with such elegant style and content. She is truly very gifted, and I'm so happy to have been able to be exposed to her abilities to express herself so well. She's a decent and very fine person. A very fine person. I always look forward to
It is the great privilege of my life and of the last 16 plus years of it that I get to associate myself with so many decent, kind, loving, and brilliant, brilliant people, yourself included.
Well, thank you very much.
Our minor little tiffs and dust-ups notwithstanding.
Of course we do. That makes it all the fun, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you didn't have those, the rest wouldn't amount to anything at all, really. And my precious cat here, she says to tell you hello. And you see her picture many times, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. And ours are back at home, of course. I saw a picture of Agnes sent me a selfie earlier today of her with a big bundled up sweater with a hood and a geometric print on it, and Mushu the Siamese was headed right up the side of her to park on the soft fuzzy hood around her neck. That's where she's been hanging out.
Whoever says that cats aren't people oriented and unfriendly, they have to reassess that situation. So they certainly are. Incredibly fun. And I've had lots of dogs when I was growing up. I haven't had one lately because I'm just unable to take care of a dog. And a cat's so independent, they can maintain themselves and yet have time for you as well. That's the beauty of having it. And I've had some very dear ones. I really have. But going back to the thing with Mr. Trump and what he's doing, I'm never amazed at what I hear from that man. You know, you just look for the worst, and there it is, and there you have it.
Indeed. Well, Jim, you have yourself a lovely evening, remainder of your evening.
Indeed.
And let's talk soon.
I'm glad someone else found another name for Senator Graham. Lindsey Graham, Lindsey, I think the other name, what was it?
What's
the other name?
I'll have to find it, but
I just hope things are okay between him and Raul.
Raul.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Take care, well, Jim.
Here's you should leave. Take care. Bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Jim, back home in West Virginia. And we're about at the end of the program. Tracy's still got $25 more outstanding. Thanks to everybody who did respond to it. Thanks to Elizabeth and Dave and Paula. Thank you very, very kindly. Note coming in to sort of wrap things up from Lady B, subject line, what Tracy said. I'm listening to the call with Tracy. I think about your regular callers and how much I enjoy them. Todd, Tracy, Reggie, all people of color right there. Honey, I know a black person's voice when I hear it, Lady B adds. And then I send you these emails, sometimes rambling and not making much sense, but you read them, and I realize just what a marvel you are. Blushing. As a person of color, that's as close as I get to being a person of color, is blushing, Lady B. As a person of color, there aren't too many radio shows that I feel like I'm being heard, that I have a voice, and my opinions, although they might rub people the wrong way, are being heard and acknowledged. I appreciate that with the Horn listeners. There's a reason why you hear black voices on Bob's show. It's because he's genuine. And that is an amazing thing, because when you make people feel that comfortable, they in turn feel comfortable expressing their opinions with you. I'm going to contribute $5 to Tracy's challenge. It's literally half of all I got in my account, but I get paid tomorrow, so it's all good. In acknowledgement of the holiday season, I'm putting up a Carol of the Bells challenge. We are all in this together. We should fight. We should fight for the right of each other to live and to be happy and free. You so deserve this, Bob. Thank you for everything you do. Lady B. That is humbling. And it thrills my soul to know that this program has that kind of meaning for people. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you so very kindly for those kind words. And so the Carol of the Bells challenge is on the table. Thank you, Lady B. And if 20 more bucks, when 20 more bucks roll in, Tracy's challenge will be met, and we will be down to, golly, it's just a little over the regular fundraising goal for tomorrow evening. I'll have to do the ciphering later. All right. Thanks, Speed. Speed says I'll go $25. Challenge met, and, oh, let's see. Yeah, so we're down to like 230 or something for tomorrow. That's amazing. That's just wonderful. Thank you all so very, very kindly. And tomorrow is Friday on the Front Porch. And I think we will have hopefully a rousing conversation. I'm looking forward. I hope you're looking forward to it. And hey, the emergency Tootsie Pop remains untouched. I will wrap it up after the program to get me through another program tomorrow. As long as it remains untouched. And you've seen it here. There have been no breaks. I've not smoked a cigarette. How about that? I think we can do this. And I mean that, we. Because I'm doing it with your help. So thanks to all of you who do keep the program on the air. Thank you so kindly for the contributions that keep us going. Thank you to our subscribers and our a la carte contributors. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.